Hi, and welcome to another edition of Jim on the Air. I'm Jim Suriani, your host. Thank you so much for joining us today on the show. Very excited to dedicate the show to the Reemerge Dance Festival, which is happening at Center Stage Theater in less than a week. It seems just like yesterday we were talking, I was talking to Terry Ball, who's the executive director of Center Stage, about doing submissions and getting ready to promote submissions for the event. And now it's almost happening. It's in less than a week. And the festival is June 17th through the 20th. And it will be at Center Stage. And for ticket information, you can go to the Center Stage website, centerstagetheater.org. That's centerstagetheater.org. And theater is spelled E-R on the website, centerstagetheater.org. Or you can also do it the old-fashioned way. You can give them a call at 805-963-0408. For tickets, 963-0408, area code 805. And you can get tickets that way. And when you're on the website, centerstagetheater.org, you can check out their blog. There's a blog tab on the website, and it'll take you to their blog. And you can check out more in-depth information about the festival, about each of the artists and the studios that will be presenting at the festival. And the whole purpose for the Reemerge, as I'm burping here, sorry. The whole purpose of the Reemerge Dance Festival is the way to celebrate the fact that we're returning to live performances after this pretty much a year and a half of the pandemic and everyone having to go inside and quarantine and shut down in place. So this is a way to celebrate the fact that we are actually having live performances with a live audience and live performers all in the same room, in the same theater. And so that's part of the reason the name Reemerge Dance Festival. And again, it takes place June 17th through the 20th. Right now, though, I'd like to introduce my guests for this edition of the show, Jim on the Air. And I have with me Meredith Lyons and Gianna Burright and Shio Tepper. They are doing a piece on, I believe, yes, it's Sunday, June 20th, 2 p.m. Their piece will be presented there. We're going to find out more about it. And ladies, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
That's my pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll ask all three of you. I'll start with you, Meredith. My first question is, what was your path as an artist? As an artist and as a dancer, what led you to dance, and you know, from the beginning to where you are today?
I've been dancing since I was 3 years old. So like a lot of people put their kids into dance at a young age. That's how I started dancing, and then through different studios. And then when I was in like middle school, high school, I had been doing the local Nutcracker while with my studio. And then that ballet company asked me to join, and I trained at that ballet company, and then switched studios to train more. And then I went to college for dance and got my bachelor's degree in dance teaching and choreography. And then I danced professionally in ballet companies and then modern dance companies and jazz companies, and was teaching dance as well, both in studios and private and public and charter schools. And then I went and got my master's degree, my MFA, in dance studies and choreography at Smith College, and which is in Western Massachusetts. And when I was there, I was introduced to other styles of dance that I hadn't had in my undergraduate degree. And after then, I danced professionally again while I also was working full-time. And I was working full-time as a teacher and a choreographer in boarding schools and private schools, and then became a professor, and then was a dance professor. And then I was still dancing professionally, and then I worked at Bates Dance Festival as the assistant director, and then I left the country with the Peace Corps and was a professor of dance in the Caribbean. And then I made my way during COVID to Santa Barbara.
Oh, okay.
And not for dance. So my entire life I've been dancing, and during COVID is my first time where I wasn't able to dance since I was 3 years old. And it's my first time ever moving anywhere that was not associated with dance my whole life. So this has been exciting to be in this process, to be, I've never been to Center Stage, so it was my first time going into Center Stage, like just in the past week. So it's like a lot of happenings really quickly for me.
A lot of news,
like everybody like that are going to be coming to the show, or everybody performing in the show, or a part of the show in any capacity. For me, it's like just really a lot of new all at once.
Wow, that's amazing. And then Gianna, I will turn to you next. Tell us a little bit about your artistic past, your path. How did you come into dance at this time?
Yeah, my Wi-Fi is being super dodgy, so I'm sorry. It keeps like cutting out on me. I, as most dancers do, they dance when they were young. And then I stopped dancing for a lot of my childhood. And I found myself back in dance in high school, where my mom actually forced me, like heels digging into the ground, did not want to take a dance class, forced me to take a dance at my high school in Ojai at Nordhoff High School. And my everything kind of changed once I walked into that room. I went to Moorpark College after graduating high school, studied dance there, transferred over to UCSB, got my BFA in dance from there, and then I moved to London to receive my MFA in choreography from Trinity Laban Conservatory of Music and Dance. I've been choreographing all over internationally, in Europe, in the UK, here as well, performing my own stuff. I've started collectives, teach a lot, do a lot of teaching both at different colleges and within the high school realm, with Santa Barbara High School and San Marcos High School, Nordhoff High, Ventura High, do musical theater and contemporary dance. And so that's kind of how I came to dance.
Awesome, that's great. And then Shio, how about for you? I know you are the musician who has created the music for the piece. Tell us about your path as a musician and an artist.
Yeah, so I grew up in a really creative family, multimedia artists, musicians. I also did dance when I was a kid, but I was always really drawn to the piano. So when I was 4, I just started playing piano kind of on my own because it was there and it was around, and I begged my parents for lessons, and it just stuck, and I became totally obsessed. I grew up here in Santa Barbara, so I went through Music and Arts Conservatory, which is kind of an interdisciplinary arts conservatory, studied classical piano throughout all of my primary and secondary education, and then ended up going to UCSB for ethnomusicology, entered as a piano major and decided that I wanted more than just classical piano, so I studied ethnomusicology, picked up the guitar. Now I do a lot of different things in music. So I'm a songwriter, I do a singer-songwriter stuff. I compose as I have for this piece. I do a lot of music directing for musical theater, teach a lot of workshops. I do a lot of things with a community arts workshop here in town. And I think what inspires me most is that interdisciplinary crossover where all of the arts kind of inform one another, and that overlap and that cross-pollination is really exciting to me. That, and I also love to teach. So I teach, most of my time is spent teaching and or composing and directing.
Nice. And and then Shio, with you, since you're my first screen right now, tell me a little bit about the music that you've created for this piece. You created it for this piece, or was it a piece that you had already written before?
So I created it for this piece. So the basic idea behind it was kind of past, present, future. And we had this motif, this idea of threes. And so for me, you know, there's always a through line, the kind of life force that threads together past, present, and future. And so I'm exploring musically that how things transform over time while still kind of staying the same. And so conceptually, that's where I'm coming from. There's also a good bit of, so it's kind of like structured improvisation. So there's a loose structure, but I'm also playing off of Meredith and Gianna's movement. within that structure to kind of keep it alive and fresh as we go. So it's a really exciting way of structured improvisation for me to explore with them.
Nice, very cool. And I'm talking with Meredith, Gianna, and Shio. They are a part of the Reemerge Dance Festival, which takes place June 17th through the 20th at Center Stage Theater. And their piece, which is called A Study on Seeing and Being Seen, will be performed on Sunday, June 20th. And that will be a matinee performance at 2 p.m. Again, Sunday, June 20th, 2 p.m. For tickets, you can go to centerstagetheater.org or call the box office 805-963-0408. And then for Meredith and Gianna, a question for both of you. Same question. How did the piece come about? What is its roots, if you will, and how did it come to be?
Gianna, do you want to go, or I don't know?
I mean, we can both kind of talk together.
Just don't talk at the same time. It would be hard to understand.
Yes. Yeah. I think the real roots of where this came to be is just Meredith and I wanting to share space and move together, and to just, you know, be back in physical practice of dance ourselves. And I think that's where the initial excitement for starting the work came to be. And then from there, both Meredith and I have worked a lot with improvisation ourselves within our teaching practice, within our creative practice. And so it was just exciting to kind of merge and marry our two ways of thinking and to try to come up with something new that, you know, has both of us deeply embedded in it and the research that we've both been working with for years.
To add to that, you know, not that you know, but it's kind of very hard to explain in words, but when you're in the field for this long, you can sort of talk about people. When you talk with people, you kind of talk a little bit about their bio or where they danced or what influences them. And as Gianna mentioned, research-wise. And so for me, like I knew without having ever danced with Gianna that I knew that we were going to be able to dance well together. And just by the... what I think is that we dance well together. I don't know what others think.
Me too.
But on the inside, it feels like at home. And it's very rare to find that, especially when you don't really know the person very well. And you don't have to have the same training, but you have to come with the same ethos and viewpoints of methodologies and ways in terms of what you're interested in with your research. And as she said, like improvisation is a big part of the way that we both come to movement and generating choreography. And so, but that also keeps in line with like what's important about the body and what's important about how the body moves and moves with others. And then what's important about how the body's being seen in performance. And so, me being new to the area, I haven't seen anything. And so I have no idea what this community is. But Gianna is very embedded within the community. And so we come from polar opposites in that regard, but actually in our dance history and our movement history, we have very similar histories, even though I'm originally from New York and I'm from the East, so I'm not from the West. And so, but because of her training and where she went to school and the people that she studied with, our histories are really quite embedded. Even though we haven't studied with the same teachers, we study from the same methodology and the same lineage. And that is extremely rare to find when two people are from completely different sides of the country. And having both studied and trained and choreographed internationally, like it's kind of really rare to find. And so I was excited to get into a process with her because I don't get that opportunity even when there isn't a pandemic.
Right, right. Now, and so you both mentioned that the piece came from an improvisational background. Does that mean that the piece kind of, is it kind of organic? Does it kind of shift or change a little bit at each time you do it? Or have you set it in a certain setting? or does it? Go ahead, Jen.
No, you're good. It's shifting and it's changing and it's evolving and it's being born and then it's being reborn again. And I think that that's the idea for it to always, like, wherever we go with this, whatever we end up doing with this outside of this festival is a wonderful platform and a wonderful way to, like, give birth to creativity again when in a time that people have either been super creative or not at all. I think that this is something for both of us. There's structure within it. There's definitely a skeleton, and there's home base points, but it will always continue to evolve. And I think that's the beauty and the joy, and where the similarity between Meredith and I come from is, it's really, for me as an artist, it's hard to be like, this is this, and this is how it's going to be. And it can't ever change because we as humans are constantly evolving and change is very, very important. And creating space for art to change and for people to change within it is a big part of, I think, both of all three of our ethos. And it lives, you know, within the work.
Nice. And then Shio, for you, with the music, does the music also kind of shift a little bit for you, or how is that on your end?
Yeah, so how do I explain this? Basically, I have these kind of key points throughout that I know I'm going to arrive at. But the way in which I get there and also the way in which it's played is often based off of, like, the speed of their movements or maybe how much time they're taking or how much space is being traveled. So I'm really looking at kind of the energy that they're bringing, and that's informing how and to a certain degree what I play. But I do have these, like, key moments that I return to that give it a structure so that it's a clear, you know, beginning, middle, end.
I got you. Okay, cool. And then for all three of you, Meredith, I'll start with you. What are you hoping that the audience takes away from the piece once they leave the theater? What are you hoping they get from it?
I would say that I'm trying to think about the perspective of what it is to be in a theater when someone hasn't been in the theater in a very long time. So what Gianna and I have been working on is what it means to be seen and what does it mean to see. And that's amongst each other, that's within the space. And I say each other meaning within the music, within the movement, within the space, within all three of us. And then also the audience. Like, I don't always think of it, like, I like to break the fourth wall. We're not heavily breaking the fourth wall in this, but just sitting in a theater in itself is going to be a trip, possibly, for some of us. And
I agree, yeah.
You know, like, and depending on, like, how it's going to be with Santa Barbara possibly opening up, and depends because we don't know what's going to happen next week. You know, what's the distance between people sitting next to each other and not, and who's coming to the theater and who has the access to get to the theater and who has vaccinated and who has a COVID test. And so that in itself is a very specific demographic. And as well as who goes to see shows and who goes to see shows at this time. And so I'm thinking about that in the work. I'm not saying I want the audience to totally take that away. I think the audience in itself is just going to have they're going to be breathing. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be exhilarating. It's also going to bring a lot of emotion, possibly. I know it does for me. And so I want to be able to create the space with the two of them where people can really just sit and be in a theater and take in some interesting movement pathways, some interesting relationship and negotiation between people and music and space in a very intimate environment, and allow them to just be like an audience and be able to, like, step in and feel us in the music and in the movement, and notice the recognition that it is what it is to see multiple people close to each other.
Yeah, really.
you know, like, and then us being close to them, and then us like seeing them and them seeing us and the relationships of what that is, and being able to have music live, like all at the same exact time. Like, I'm not interested at the moment with where we're at in like total set choreography. I want to acknowledge that there is a huge shift, and this will be the first time. And so to take a pause in that and to just to sit with it a little bit. And that's why improvisation is really important within this.
Right.
Because we really have to see what's at hand.
You know, it's interesting to think about, prior to 2020, that you would go to the theater, you would go see performing arts, whether it was dance or a musical or a play or a concert or, opera, whatever the case may have been. And we never gave it a thought as to who was in the theater or who was performing on stage. And now here we are, as we're starting to come out of the pandemic a little bit, all of a sudden now we have to be aware of who we are. And, you know, as the title is in your piece, the study of seeing and being seen, and it's, you know, all the different ways to look at that phrase. And then also, Gianna, for you, what are you also hoping that the audience takes away from it?
Yeah, I think very similar to Meredith. I think that I'm excited to bring something that might be a little bit different to the Santa Barbara dance community into this, and to have creative partners that want to go there with me as well. I think that I'm just excited to be performing in front of an audience, and to be that exchange between audience and performer is so beautiful and is something that I have missed so deeply during this time. I think that for me, it's a great, when we share space and we share art like this and we're performing live, it's a great way to understand perspective and to get perspective. And it's a great way for us to create conversations that haven't been happening over this past year. It's a great way for us to collaborate ideas with the audience members, and just to feel sharing space together again, and to feel how people receive our creative process as it's happening live in front of them. And that in itself changes us and changes the way that we create and informs everything about dance even more. And that's something that I have missed dearly during this time.
Absolutely. That's a great answer to that question. And then Chio, also for you, what are you hoping that the audience takes away from the entire piece?
I think Gianna touched on this already, but I think there's a lot of interesting layers within this piece between how we are seeing each other, which I think is also exciting, because, you know, oftentimes in dance performances, you know, the musician or the music is kind of a part of it, but maybe there's like a separation. Mm-hmm. But in this piece, you know, it's all very much, we're all a part of one another. Which is exciting to me. And so there's that layer of seeing and being seen. But then of course there's also the layer of being seen, you know, the audience and us. And I think just that the differences in the layers and perspective, I think, is really interesting in this piece, and something that I've been really excited to explore with Meredith and Gianna. And I hope that the audience members kind of take away a bit of that as well.
Very cool. Nice. And then a question for all three of you, of course. What are you hoping for the future, as far as whether as a musician or a dancer, what are you hoping to be able to do over the next, say, 6 months to a year? And I'll start with you, Meredith.
Okay.
Why do I have to go first?
What am I hoping to do as a dancer?
Or as a performer in general? What are you hoping that you can... Because I know it's kind of hard to make plans when we don't know what's happening with the pandemic. But what are you hoping for in, let's say, the next 6 months to a year?
I am just very much looking forward to being back in the creative process. So this has been new with both of these two lovely artists. And so continuing this work and then additional work as well. So performing, creating, more teaching, in movement, like in general, being in a studio or in a theater. And I know that sounds like such a very broad one, but when that's all taken away from you entirely, like to me, the floor is home. So not just the theater, but like a dance floor. And there's all different kinds of dance floors. To me, that's sacred. That's my church. That's my drive. That's my everything. And so, and that is a community of people. Like you can make dances by yourself all the time, but to me, the wonderful part about dancing is the ing, is the community,
yeah.
The being with each other and the dynamic of what that means to share. And if that's sharing physical weight, if that's sharing movement pathways, if that's sharing energy, that's breath qualities, that's music within the space, the music that we create. But to me, it's like, how do we continue to share and pass that on? And that's what I'm excited about, is the continual sharing and how the field has now shifted. And hopefully, I'm hoping that people will give each other a lot more grace.
Yeah, grace. I like that. Yeah, very much so. I think that's very important, especially coming out of what we've been through and, you know, what may be the future. And then, Gianna, how about for you? What are you hoping for in the next 6 months to a year as far as a performer is concerned?
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of recovery that's going to be happening during this time for a lot of different people in a lot of different areas. And I think I'm a firm believer that art has the power to change the world, and has proved that it has in the past. And I think that I'm just excited to be able to start to connect with more people on a broader platform than we have been able to because of COVID. And also, you know, these new ways of working and being with this Zoom land, like it opens up, it makes a lot of challenges, yes, but it also opens up a lot of doors. And so I'm just really excited to keep opening doors, and also to just be aware that safety is something that is very different for everybody. And that, you know, being aware of how to take care of myself, how to take care of others, and yeah, just taking care during this time as we open back up and as we have the ability to create and to collaborate and to expand, and just to, you know, I'm hoping that during this time that everybody can really realize the power of art and give into it a little bit more than we have in the past, especially here in America.
Nice, very cool. And then Shio, same question for you. What are you hoping for over the next 6 months to a year?
Yeah, I think this time has been so, you know, we've been reflecting, a lot of us, on our own lives and also on what's happening societally. And there's just been a lot of examination. And I'm excited to see what kind of art comes of that, whether in the realm of social justice or just performers being more willing to be a little bit more vulnerable. I think as performers sometimes, and I'm guilty of this sometimes as well, of just putting on the performance and kind of going through the motions, especially as a busy performer, that, you know, there's a lot of that. And I'm really excited about, seems like more artists at this time are more willing and kind of craving and like starving for that type of performance or that type of art that really drives and inspires and motivates us, which is that vulnerability and that rawness. And I'm seeing it already in, you know, performers like Gianna and Meredith and others as well. And I'm just excited to see more of that and collaborate with more people around that. Yeah.
Very cool. And we just have a couple minutes left before we go, but Shio, I'll start with you since you're since you're first up. Before we go, do you have any 411 information you want to give out for, you know, either social media information or websites, any of that kind of stuff? And we'll start with you, Shio, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. I have an Instagram page, which is Shio Bear, spelled S-I-O-B-E-A-R. And you can follow me there or my Facebook, Shio, S-I-O dot Tepper, T-E-P-P-E-R, as well as my website, shiotepermusic.com.
Excellent. And then Meredith, for you?
My website is meredithlyons.org. My, I think think my Instagram is at Meredith Lyons. That's L-Y-O-N-S. And I don't know. And then my Facebook is Meredith Lyons Dance is the easier way you're going to find me.
And what was that last one again? Meredith Lyons Dance?
Dance.
Okay, very cool.
I think it's Meredith Lyons, but if you type Meredith Lyons Dance, I will be the first one to come up.
That should be the, okay, very cool. And then Gianna, for you, what is your social media and websites that you'd like to give out?
Yeah, my website is just giannaburright.com. And so is my Instagram at giannaburright. And then my Vimeo account where I post videos is also giannaburright.
Nice. And then that's spelled GIANNABURRIGHT.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it on the screen. So
it's like the longest. Yeah, it's the longest thing ever, too.
Oh, that's okay. No, I've seen longer.
Well,
ladies, I just want to say thank you so much for joining me on the show today, and continued success in all of your careers, and good luck with the festival. I won't say break a leg because that wouldn't work. With actors, that's okay, but you know, I don't know if we want to say break a leg for dancers. But enjoy the festival, and thank you all so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And before we go, one more time, if the festival, Reemerge Dance Festival, is performing June 17th through the 20th at Center Stage Theater, and you want to go to centerstagetheater.org for tickets. You can also call the box office, 805-963-0408, 805-963-0408. And if you want to know what I'm up to, I'm Jim on the Air on both social media, on Instagram and on Facebook. And the show, of course, is called Jim on the Air, the podcast, and it's you can find it everywhere: Apple Podcast, Anchor.fm, Spotify, Breaker, Google Podcast, and many more. Thank you all for joining us, and we will catch you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.